Well, good morning. If I haven't had the chance to meet you yet this morning, I'm Pastor Doug, and I'm so glad that you're here to worship with us. One thing about Northridge is that we are all sinners saved by God's grace. We're all on a journey of faith. All of us are at different places in our journey, but we're all hopefully headed in the same direction. And we want to be a community, a family, a body of Christ that helps each other in that journey. If you'd like to find out a little bit more about Northridge and what our community is all about, there's a Connect card that's on the back of your worship program that you were given this morning. If you would fill that out with as much information as you're willing to give us and bring it back to the information table, we have a small gift for you, and then we'll make a connection with you via phone or email or text just to try to find out how your experience was here at Northridge and to see what we can do to serve you. We're in a message series called Thrive, and remember that to thrive means to grow and develop vigorously, to progress toward or realize a goal despite circumstances, and to flourish. So as Christians, we are called to grow, to thrive, and to flourish, to become more and more like Jesus. And remember, we shared Proverbs 11:28 from the Message version that says, a God-shaped life thrives like a flourishing tree. To live a God-shaped life is to pursue God in a way that allows Him to shape and transform our lives and our lifestyle. Jesus said it best in John 15 when He said, if you want to thrive, stay connected to Me. Tether yourself to Me. Be vitally united with Me. In this message series called Thrive, we've been learning about some essential things that we need to do in our lives, some essential habits that we need to implement in our lives if we want to grow, if we want to thrive in our faith and in our relationship with Jesus. Today, the essential habit that we're going to look at is a difficult one. It's one that we all struggle with. It's prayer. Now, we live in a success-driven culture, if you haven't noticed that. Whether it's sports or at work and business, no matter where it is, we always have goals. And in order to realize if we're headed towards achieving our goals, we usually look at statistics. We look at numbers. Numbers will reveal if we're headed in the right direction towards success. So in sports, we measure wins and losses. We look at statistics, batting averages, and different kind of statistics, individual statistics, team statistics, that measure whether or not we're headed in the right direction to achieve our goal of winning a championship. In business, we measure success by the number of customers. We measure success by our productivity. And ultimately, we measure our success by our profit margin. In our own personal health, we look at numbers and statistics to see if we're healthy. When we go to the doctor, the very first thing that they do, the dreaded thing is, the first thing you got to do is you got to step on that scale, right? And they find out how much you weigh. And then they take your vitals, right? Your blood pressure. They check your blood pressure. They listen to your heart and check your breathing. Why do they do that? Because they know that those vitals point to your physical health. If all of those numbers are in the right ranges, it shows that you're somewhat healthy. You're headed in the right direction. How do we know if we're spiritually healthy? What are the vitals that we can look at to see if we're spiritually healthy? Well, I believe that prayer is one of those essential vitals. That when we look at our prayer life, it gives us a good idea if we're healthy and growing spiritually. When we look at our prayer life, it gives us a good indication if we're headed in the right direction of our goal of becoming more and more like Jesus. Prayer is a great indication as to where we're at in our spiritual health. the statistics of our prayer life really reveal what we believe about who Jesus is, what He means to us, and how He impacts and directs our life. Remember, in this message series, we've been talking about what it means to be disciples. And we've been talking about how, as believers, we are disciples. There's not two different things. We can't be a believer and not be a disciple. That once we take that step of faith in our life to become believers, we are automatically considered one of Jesus' disciples. And we talked about the definition of what it means to be a disciple. As someone who follows Jesus with the idea and goal of being changed by Jesus and to be on the mission of Jesus. Now, if you remember, after Jesus' resurrection, like right before He ascended into heaven, He met with the disciples, He appeared to them, and He commissioned them. He said, I want you as My disciples to go into all of the world and be My witnesses. Go and make disciples of all nations. This is the mission. This is what it means to be a disciple. And in Acts 1 verse 8, before Jesus ascended, He said, go and be My witnesses. So as His disciples, His believers who follow Jesus, we have a mission and we have a purpose. Being a believer and a disciple of Jesus is not just about following Him so that we can watch how amazing He is. It's an active part of being on the team, the church, disciples. The purpose of being a disciple is not to be in a club. It's a team that is called by Jesus and sent by Jesus to be the good news in this world. Now, one of the really neat things that I see in the Bible is after Jesus commissioned the disciples, after He gave them their marching orders, after He told them what their mission was, one of the very first things that we see the disciples do is gather to pray. In Acts 1:14, it says, they all joined together constantly in prayer. They constantly prayed together. As disciples and followers of Jesus, they were being transformed by Jesus. They learned that an essential part of being on the team was to be on mission with Jesus, to be transformed by Him and to be on His mission. And I believe that as I read that this week, I thought, you know what? It's almost like it's an automatic outcome of the commission, of being on a mission with Jesus. Because they were serious about following Jesus' command to go into the world and to be His witnesses and share the gospel with other people. They looked at themselves and I can just see them looking around the room and going, how are we going to do this? Like, I don't know what to do. I don't know if I can do this myself. And looking around the room and all the other people in the room, they probably all thought the same thing. What are we doing? How are we going to do this? We're just ordinary fishermen. We're just ordinary people. How are we going to do what Jesus has called us to do? We better start by praying. And I believe that when we see the disciples gathering constantly together to pray, that it shows their sense of urgency and the authoritative nature of Jesus and how they understood the mission that Jesus called them to go on. Their constant meeting in prayer gives the impression that, hey, there's not a choice here. As Jesus' disciples, we've got to go do and obey what He's called us to do. And there's no way that we can do this on our own. Their prayer showed an utter dependence on God's power and authority. So in their meeting to pray, we see a sense of urgency and a sense of dependency on God. Now take a look at our prayer life. Take a look at the way the church in general views prayer. Take a good look at your own prayer life and ask yourself the question, does it measure up? See, I think our failure to see the importance of prayer reveals that we are not being transformed by Jesus. We don't fully understand our mission. We don't fully sense the urgency that the first disciples felt. The urgency of what Jesus has called us to do and to be, to go into the world, to be His ambassadors, to be His witnesses. And so we don't need to pray. You see, if we're not on God's mission, if we're just happy with the way things are in our life, then why pray? And as I look at my own prayer life, as I really wrestle with this, I ask myself this question: where's my sense of urgency? My sense of urgency in the mission that Jesus has called us to be on as His disciples. If it was really important to me, I would be driven to my knees in prayer, begging God for direction, begging God for help, begging God for power, begging God for wisdom. See, our prayer life not only reveals our spiritual maturity, it reveals our missional reality. Our prayer life not only reveals our spiritual maturity, it reveals our missional reality. Do we have a sense of urgency? Do we understand the mission in which Jesus has called us to be a part of? As a believer and a disciple of Jesus, if that is what we claim to be, then prayer ought to be a regular part of our life. Prayer is essential for us not only to thrive in life, but to thrive on the mission that God has called us to. So let's be like the disciples. In the disciples, in the Gospels, we see the disciples going to Jesus and saying, "Hey, could you teach us how to pray?" And today we're going to take a look at the principles of prayer that Jesus taught His disciples. We're going to look at Matthew 6, verses 5 through 13. I'm sharing from the New Living Translation. If you don't have your Bibles, you can follow along on the screen. Let's look and see what principles Jesus shares with us. He says, "When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that's all the reward they will ever get. But when you pray, go away by yourself. Shut the door behind you and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. When you pray, don't babble on and on as people of other religions do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. Don't be like them. For your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask Him. Pray like this: Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need, and forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one." And if you look at the footnote there in your Bible, it should be an asterisk there that says, "For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen." So Jesus gives us two bad examples of how not to pray. And then He gives us alternate directions. He goes on to provide guidelines on how to pray by sharing what we know as the Lord's Prayer. Now, to be sure, Jesus never intended the Lord's Prayer to be some kind of rote, memorized prayer that we recite and repeat on a regular basis as if it's some sort of magical thing that will help us. He gave it to us as a pattern to show the principles of prayer and the various elements that we could include in our prayers. So here's the first prayer principle that I see Jesus share with us. He says, pray secretly. When you pray, notice it says, when you pray, not if you decide to pray. When you pray, go into the room, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private. Jesus says, when you pray, go to a private place to be alone with God. Jesus Himself modeled that for the disciples. In Mark 1:35, it says, "Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, went off to a solitary place where He prayed." So I think there's several implications here that Jesus is trying to get us to understand. The first thing is that praying secretly makes prayer time a priority. It makes prayer time a priority. See, Jesus is trying to tell us that prayer should be intentional, not convenient. Intentional, not convenient. So what Jesus is looking for here is not your leftover time. We have become people who are champions of dual tasking, double tasking, doing two things at one time, multitasking everything. When we're driving down the road, we're looking at our phone and checking our emails. We're making phone calls to people that we need to talk to. When we're at our children's ball games, we're checking our email. We're texting people. We're answering phone calls. We are the masters at multitasking. And look, here's the deal. Like, I know a lot of you will pray in your car on the way to work. I know there's a lot of you who will pray in the shower in the morning. I know that there's a lot of you that will find time to pray while you're doing other things. And I'm not trying to say that you need to quit that. Those are good things. But they can't be the only time that you pray. Jesus is saying here, I want your attention. And how can we really give God our undivided attention if we're trying to talk to Him while we're driving? A lot of times when Nancy and I go to a restaurant, it seems like there's TVs in every restaurant that you go to, and there's always a game on. And so, in many times, we're trying to have a conversation. I'll be looking over her shoulder at the TV in the back. And she'll stop me and say, "Hey, I'm over here. Remember me? Look at me." You know, I'm like, "Hey, I can pay attention to you and watch the TV at the same time." You know? Sometimes I get burned. "Well, what did I just say?" I don't really know. But we do that all the time, don't we? How do you think God feels when He's not the number one priority? When we're focusing on all kinds of things while we're trying to pray. You see, Jesus is saying, hey, praying secretly will help you be more intentional in your prayer time. Praying in secret also makes prayer very practical. It removes those distractions. Praying in different places is good, but there's no substitution for being in a private place so we can focus on God. Praying in secret makes prayer personal. Have you ever tried to have a really intimate, important conversation with someone in the middle of a restaurant? In the middle of the waiting room at the doctor's office? Sitting on the sidelines at a sporting event? Not probably the best time or place to have an intimate and important conversation. The best time to have those conversations is alone, to set up a place where you can meet together so that you can look each other in the eye and listen and speak with love and truth into each other's lives. That's what prayer is all about. God calls us to go into this secret place because prayer is an intimate time where we get to know God, where we get to listen to God, where we get to hear what He has to say. Let Him speak into our life. Fill us with His Spirit and empower us to give us direction in our life. And too often, we try to do that at 55 miles an hour going down the road. And I wonder how much of it is actually sticking in our mind and our heart as we're going 240 and trying to do so many different things at one time. Jesus comes to us today and He says, hey, I want you to go into a secret place. I want you to take time out of your busy schedule to meet with me, to hear me, to spend time with me. The second prayer principle I see Jesus sharing here is to pray sincerely. Jesus calls us to take prayer seriously. He says, when you pray, don't babble on and on like people of other religions do. They think their prayers are answered just because of the words they repeat and repeat. You see, the Pharisees, their prayer style was all about people seeing how spiritually mature they were. It was all an outward show that people, so people would think that they were really spiritual. So in effect, their prayer style was really all about them. And Jesus says, hey, if you're going to pray that way, then that's your reward. That's all you're going to get. We get out of prayer what we put into prayer. And we need to take prayer seriously. It's our opportunity to meet with God. Jesus says, when you pray, say, Our Father, who is in heaven, holy is your name. You see, praying sincerely helps remind us that we're called to be reverent and reflective. God is in heaven. God is in heaven. It's an opportunity for us to sit back and go, God is the ultimate authority. God is the creator and the sustainer of everything. That ought to get our attention on a regular basis. We ought to reflect on that. He reigns and rules from His throne in heaven. Prayer ultimately shows our understanding that God is in control of all things. The act of prayer is an expression of faith. It acknowledges God's sovereignty and His authority over us and all of creation. It's in our humble admission that we come before God and say that we need Him and depend on Him for all things. See, prayer is not like climbing into the lap of Santa Claus at Christmas. It's not about just telling God what we want and what we need and what we hope to get. Prayer must be taken seriously, because we have the opportunity and the privilege of communicating and relating with an all-powerful, all-knowing, everywhere present, holy God. Prayer should not always be about us. I think as I look at my prayer life, the less I pray, the more my prayers are about me. Got to get them in there, right? And I don't have a lot of time, so I got to make sure that I share the things that I need. And I found that the more time that I spent in prayer, the more my focus is off of me and more on God and what He wants to do, not only in me, but in the world and the people around me. In prayer, we must reflect on who God is. We must really just sit back and enjoy the presence of God, reflecting on who He is, what He's calling us to do and to be. To take the time to just reflect on His power, His majesty, His attributes, and His character. In prayer, we should acknowledge the holiness of God. We should show our reverence and respect to Him as our God. He is worthy of our honor and respect. Prayer is a privilege. Taking the time to reflect, being with Him, gazing into His eyes, into His heart, being amazed by who He is and not just by what He can do for us. Jesus also said, when you pray, say, Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. See, praying sincerely helps us to be more respectful. When we recognize God's authority and His holiness, it ought to motivate us to live our lives for Him. In prayer, we learn to live in God's kingdom and to seek His will for our lives. It's our opportunity to be attentive to God's direction for our lives as we live as His disciples. How are we to be obedient to Him? What is God calling us to do out of our love for Him? How can we follow His rules in our life? How can we follow His instructions for our mission? In prayer, we submit and surrender ourselves to a holy and awesome God. When we fail to take time to seek God in prayer, we're disrespecting His authority, His holiness, and His direction in our lives. We're telling Him that we don't really need Him. We can do it on our own. We're telling Him that we really don't care about His rules and His desires for our life. That we will pursue what we want, how we want, and when we want. Jesus challenges us today. He says if we want to thrive, then we must take God more seriously by investing in prayer. The third prayer principle that I see Jesus sharing is to pray specifically. Jesus not only teaches us to pray in secret and to pray sincerely, He gives us some specific things that we can pray about to help guide us, to help us deal with the real things that we struggle with throughout our lives, to deal with the practical issues on a regular basis that we go through. There's an old saying about prayer that goes, "When we work, but when we pray, God works." God is able to accomplish more than we ask or imagine, but we must be willing to take the time to sit before Him and wrestle through some of these specific things in our prayer life. Jesus says, when you pray, say, "Give us this day our daily bread." Now, we don't really wrestle with having meals on a regular basis, do we? So I believe that what Jesus is talking about here is being dependent on Him. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." And what He's talking about is more than just physical nourishment. Jesus is talking to us and saying, "Look, if you want to be nourished by Me spiritually, emotionally, and physically, then you need to spend time being connected to Me in prayer." Prayer reveals our faith in God. It teaches us to trust and rely on Him to meet all of our needs in every aspect of our lives. It teaches us to deepen our trust in Him even when we don't get the answers to our prayers in the way that we expect or want. Here's a question for us this morning. How hungry are we? How hungry are we to see God do things in our life? How hungry are we to go deeper in our faith? How hungry really are we to thrive in our relationship with Christ? Because if we're really hungry, then we're going to make sure that we go to the bread of life, the source who can feed us. And we need to depend on Him for everything in prayer. Jesus says, when you pray, say, "Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us." Because praying specifically is all about keeping our relationships healthy. We're broken and sinful people. Our relationship with God and each other is broken. And forgiveness is a major part of restoring and repairing and keeping our relationships healthy. Whether it's a marriage relationships, a parent and child relationship, relationships with friends or neighbors, co-workers, schoolmates, whatever it is, Jesus is saying forgiveness is where it's at. And the way that we learn where we need to apply forgiveness happens in prayer. So often I think everything in my life is going great and I'll sit down and I'll spend time in prayer and God through the Spirit will say to me, you kind of did the wrong thing here. You need to say you're sorry. I did that just this morning, actually. I talked with somebody on the phone on Friday and I was just a big old crab. Things weren't going very good Friday morning, and I took it out on whoever it was that called me that morning. And this morning, I felt like God was saying, you know what? You need to say you're sorry to that person. You need to ask for forgiveness. Because if we want to keep healthy relationships in our life, forgiveness is one of the most important parts. And Jesus reminds us of that and says, hey, in your prayer time, make sure you reflect on how you need to ask God for forgiveness in your life. Make sure you reflect and ask God who it is that you need to forgive. Who in your family, wherever it is, who you need to forgive in order to keep a healthy relationship. Jesus goes on and He says, when you pray, say, do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. You see, since we're sinful, we are in a spiritual battle against sin. We all have habits that we're trying to break. We all have sinful things that we do that are a regular part of our life. And Jesus says, look, if you want to get rid of those things, if you want to change those old habits, if you want to put off the old and put on the new, it happens in prayer. It happens when you take time in prayer and ask God about the areas in your life that are sinful. Ask God to point out the places in your life that you're off track and you need to repent and restore and be renewed and ask God to empower you and help you and encourage you to stay faithful to Him and to ask for help in the battle of sin and temptation. Lastly, Jesus says, when you pray, say, "For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." See, praying specifically helps us to express our faith. At the very end of the prayer, it's a reminder to go back to God and put our faith and trust in His ability to work in our lives. To put our faith and trust in God's ability to speak into our hearts and minds and direct our path each and every moment of our day. Jesus teaches us to rely on Him, to express faith in prayer. This is tough, isn't it? It's so hard to pray. We all struggle to pray. In his book, Too Busy Not to Pray, Bill Hybels says that prayer is an unnatural activity for us because we're sinful and we're selfish. We're prone to wander. We're prone to rely on ourselves rather than humbly ask God for help. Here's my challenge for you today. I want all of us to take the next step in our spiritual journey, in our prayer life. So here's my challenge. 10 minutes. Start by taking 10 minutes a day. Set aside 10 minutes a day and go into a secret place and take time to pray seriously with God. Here's a way that you can do it. Here's what I do in my life. I struggle with attention. I have a really hard time focusing. I have a prayer journal, a little book that I write my prayers in. And I'll sit down in the morning, I'll write the date on the left side, and I'll write whatever chapter or two I'm reading in the Bible. I'll read through it and think about some thoughts that God is trying to speak to me from there. And then on the left-hand side of the margin, I'll write the word Acts. A-C-T-S. And what I'll do is I'll take a moment to think about A, which is adoration. In what way can I adore God? How can I worship God for who He is today? And I'll write down just one sentence. And then I'll go to C. C stands for confession. And I'll say, God, what is it in my life that I need to repent of? What do I need to confess today? And then I'll write one sentence. The T is for thanksgiving. What do I have to be thankful for? It's always good to reflect on God's goodness and faithfulness in our life. It's always good to be thankful, right? And to write down one thing that I'm thankful for. And the S stands for a fancy word called supplication, which simply means to ask God. And I kind of use that moment to ask God for the different things in my life. I ask Him to help me apply some of the things that I've learned from this morning, from that morning, for that day. I ask Him to do something in my heart, in my life. Help me to see someone that I can share the gospel with or to serve. We were created by God to thrive. We were created and adopted as His children. He wants us to thrive. He has given us every opportunity to thrive by staying connected with Him in and through prayer. The only way we're going to grow and achieve our goal of becoming more like Jesus is to stay connected to Him through prayer. As believers, we're disciples, and Jesus is the source that allows us to thrive in our life and in our faith. Let's pray together. Lord, we come to You today and we admit that we fail in the area of prayer so often. Pray that You would help us to have a passion to pray. The things that You've taught us, help us to apply in our lives. Help us to set aside time to go into that secret place so that we can take You seriously, so that we have time to listen and interact with You in a way that will transform our lives and guide us and direct us to live our lives for You and to be on the mission that You've called us to be on as Your disciples. In Jesus' name, amen.